People shot to death in the last 6 days in the small town of Gaffney, about 50 miles west of Charlotte.
Doesn't seem like he shows much concern or remorse.
Cherokee County Sheriff Bill Blanton, the victims all live within 10 miles of each other.
If something doesn't look right, then you back out of it.
Evidence links the killings, but investigators haven't yet determined if the victims knew each other or if they knew the killer. The latest victims, a 45-year-old man shot to death, his 15-year-old daughter seriously wounded in their furniture an appliance shop less than a half mile from the sheriff's office. Lisa Lucera, Fox News Radio.
And even the Vatican is running into economic problems of late. The Holy See posting a second straight year of deficit at just more than a million U.S. dollars. A financial report says the Vatican City State is suffering from the global economic crisis with high costs to restore the city's religious landmarks and artifacts. I'm Ken Duffy, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You're tuned in to KSCO 1080. I'm Nikki James. I've got your Central Coast forecast for this 4th of July weekend. We're going to have a few clouds this morning, then it's going to clear to mostly sunny skies and a high of 74. The west winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight we're going to have partly cloudy skies and a low of 54. The west winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Sunday, we should have mostly sunny skies and a high of 71. The west winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Your Monterey Bay boaters forecast, the southeast winds 5 knots becoming west in the afternoon. Wind waves 2 feet or less, mixed northwest and southwest swell of 2 feet or less with patchy fog. On Sunday, the southeast winds 5 knots becoming west in the afternoon and wind waves 2 feet or less, with a mixed swell of north and southwest swell of 2 feet or less, patchy fog as well. Current temperatures, we got 58 degrees in Watsonville, it's 58 in Monterey, and it's 59 in Salinas. We're also at 59 degrees here in Santa Cruz outside KSCO Studios. The official time is 10:06 and 43 seconds on this Saturday, July 4th, 2009. Hope everybody's having a good 4th of July. Travel safe out there. And let me know if you run into any traffic problems. You can call me at 475-1080, and I will report them on the air. So let me know. And up next, you're going to be enjoying the Saturday special with MZ. So stay tuned. KSCO Santa Cruz, I'm Nikki James.
I was going to say, who are you?
I said
who you are.
I know.
Been a long time.
It has been a while, hasn't it?
I almost forgot what you sounded like and
did
looked
you?
Like.
How could you forget?
Good question, except that you were gone so long. My memory, as I'm sort of getting fairly advanced in my years, and you know what they say about
fairly.
Memory.
Yeah, you but know, you're working out, aren't you, at your new gym?
Yeah, I'm working out.
That's helping.
Out.
That's supposed to help with your
well,
memory.
Do I look like, don't I look like I'm getting fatter
yeah.
and puffy?
No, you look like you're getting in shape. Look at your arms. You could bench press 1,000 pounds right now. Look at you. Ow.
Not bad.
Good
not
stuff. Bad.
Thank you, Nikki James. You know how to make a guy feel good. So did you have a wonderful vacation?
Yeah, I did. I got to hang out with my little 2.5-year-old nephew almost the whole time, and he's my new favorite.
How fun. In Idaho, California?
Idaho.
Uh-huh.
Yep,
yeah.
Good old Idaho. All right, up north.
Great to have you back. You know, we weren't going to do a Saturday special today because it's July 4th.
I know.
It's a holiday.
It is a holiday.
We should shut the radio station down and
go
party somewhere, right?
I want to go party.
But listen, we might upset a few people if we shut the radio station down for the 4th.
Well,
because there's some people
who
don't have a place to go on the 4th, so we're their place to go.
Ah, I see.
I mean, I don't know. I'm just sort of. Oh yeah, hi.
And we should wish them a happy 4th of July.
Yeah, that's yeah. Michael Olson. In case you don't recognize, most people would recognize.
And we should recognize the fact that Nikki James is now KSCO's official Miss Idaho.
I like that.
Miss Idaho, I like that too.
Would you mind being dubbed Miss Everything?
No, all the other... I can be Miss Everything.
Okay, well, at least think about that.
Definitely Miss Idaho.
Yes. Though.
I want to know what people thought. We should do this every week. We should have a regular segment at the beginning of the Saturday special where we ask the people what they thought of the last Saturday special. For example,
take a poll. Yeah.
Last, you didn't get to hear
it. I didn't get to hear it.
I don't know if you did, Michael, but we had Dr. Stan on. We had Dr. Stan on for...
I heard Dr. Stan.
For 2 hours. And
the world famous Dr. Stan Monteith.
He really is. He really is world famous. And, you know...
So are you really getting to be a conspiratorialist?
Who said that?
You did.
I said that I'm... With the things that are happening... Mm-hmm. Every day, I'm more and more open to it. Mm-hmm. That's what I said. But I've always been open to having that kind of material or those kinds of topics discussed on the radio. Whereas a lot of the hosts, you know, are just so close-minded. They just hang up on people. They're rude.
Do you think that's probably kind of like most of the people are probably when they hear somebody say that it was George Bush that burned down the World Trade Centers, don't you think that most people go, yeah.
But there's a lot more to it than people saying that. Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah.
I'm just talking in terms of general population, you know.
Yeah, I think that could be an audience turnoff. But what there's a lot more to the, quote, conspiracy point of view than the what I would call the extreme conspiracy point of view that 9/11 was an inside job.
Well, I'm not trying to address that. I'm just trying to address the general notion that most news talk hosts, like most of the general population, would probably, you know, kind of hold up that notion and say, yeah, I don't even want to go there.
Which they have a right to do. When a host has the right to determine the program content of his or her program.
Well, the host has the right to figure out what his audience, his or her audience, wants to hear and to satisfy that audience, you know.
What does our audience want to hear? Now, I don't want people to call up and say, I like this and I don't like... We want to hear, well... What did you think of last week's Saturday special? If anybody wants to call 479-10, while you're thinking about that, I don't know if we're going to get any calls on that topic or not. By the way,
you have to give them something specific to call about.
Last week's Saturday special. What could be more specific than that? For
what
2 hours?
If they didn't hear that show or all of that show?
I want to know if anybody heard that show. Okay, for example, did you hear the show?
I did.
And who are you?
This is Rory Watsonville.
Hi, Rory. Okay. Yeah, not only did you hear the show, you were on the show, right?
Yeah, I did call. I did call. I appreciate informed, intelligent talk. And every host should allow callers, so long as they're on topic, to discuss the details that they're aware of, cite their sources. I mean, let's be smart about this.
Yes, let's be.
I mean, there are conspiracies throughout history. If you remember, I said it at 2 Brute, which is what Julius Caesar said to Brutus after he stuck the knife in his back.
Yeah.
He was confronted and they killed him. And you too, Brutus, is what he asked. Now you're in on this. So we know about the Reichstag building, the German parliament building that was burned down and Hitler blamed the Jews.
Right.
We know about that. We know that was involved agent provocateurs. So let's be smart. These things happen. Let's not call everything a conspiracy, but let's dig into what's going on.
Extend courtesies and respect to all people, even conspiratorists.
Yes. And I would say, Charlie, I called him a couple times on the whole thing with Obama's birth certificate, and he doesn't want to talk about it, which is fine. It's his show. But
it is his show.
He rebuffed any inquiry.
Rory.
The bottom line is, yes?
Rory, do you realize that you have helped us make history here today?
How so?
We have never before had a phone call on the Saturday special before we officially opened it.
Well, I'm honored.
So am I, but since we've already...
Better start the show.
Thank you for calling. We're going to open it right now, officially, okay?
Here, okay.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time. We've got tunes. We've got time, tunes, and temperature. Get up and go, it's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
Happy Independence Day, gang. Welcome to the Saturday special. We made it to another Independence Day. Think we're going to make it to yet another one? Yeah, I think we will. I think we will.
It might become the Dependence Day.
Or Interdependence Day. One of the things that we're going to do, this is called a tease in radio, is I'm going to play a speech that I was witness to in New York City a few weeks back at the Talk Media Seminar.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
And it's going to be an open mic program. We were going to do a rerun or something because, you know, it's the holiday. But, you know, more people are listening probably than you might think.
I would suspect a lot of people are listening, and I think they're listening because this is the one place to listen where they can pick up something. You know, if you're watching TV, what do you see on TV on Saturday mornings?
Nothing.
Not much.
I used to watch Rough and Ready.
Yes. But you don't anymore, do you?
Only because I can't.
Uh-huh.
You know, so anyhow, did you hear, before I forget, this is totally unrelated to what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear the news story about one guy eating 68 Nathan's hot dogs on Coney Island in 10 minutes?
Nope,
did you hear that
one?
Did you hear that, Nikki? Nobody pays attention to the news around here because they're much too busy.
How could somebody eat 68 Nathan's? Was that with buns?
I assume so. I mean, the guy just inhaled.
No way it was buns. No way you can eat that many buns as well. It had to have been just straight hot dogs.
Okay.
Did he puke after?
It didn't say.
Okay.
I've had trouble with hot dogs ever since in sixth grade. They took us to a meat packing plant and showed us how they made hot dogs.
Oh, yeah. No
I have way. Trouble eating one hot dog in an hour.
Well, I used to go to Nathan's Coney Island, and they were the best hot dogs in the world. But over the years, they got to be crap. They're just really lousy and salty and greasy and garbagey. Now the only good hot dog that I know about, you know, in New York, it has the crispy, you know, skin on it where you bite into it.
Street dogs.
Yeah.
Ray from Watsonville just called and said it was with buns.
It was?
I can't imagine that. Because those, you know, the starch really starts filling up your stomach.
Yeah, I can't imagine that either.
That's unreal.
But we have to trust what Ray says, because Ray knows what he's talking about.
Yes, he does.
All right.
We love Ray.
By the way, Ray is the name of a guy who makes the best pizza in New York City.
Huh?
Ray's Pizza. Now, there are lots of Rays who claim to be the original Ray, but there's only one original Ray. Do I know him? No, I don't. But I've tasted some
of his pizza.
Pretty good pizza.
New York style, yeah. Thin crust.
Gray's Papaya. Gray's Papaya has overtaken Nathan's hot dogs in terms of
Gray's
deliciousness.
Gray's Papaya hot dogs?
Gray's Papaya. Yeah, Gray's Papaya is the name of a street. They only have two Gray's Papayas in New York City. One is on 72nd and Broadway, and one is on Avenue of the Americas and 8th Street. And they are both very, very delicious and they're like up to like $4.50 now for a recession special, which is two hot dogs, and you can have all the stuff you want, all the sauerkraut and stuff, and one medium papaya drink, or they've got other flavors. Now, the papaya is really good because it's got enzymes in it that aid in your digestion.
Yeah.
Lonesome Jack in Watsonville, it's your turn to be on the Saturday special. Are you a new person calling, or just an old person giving yourself a new name?
Just an old person with a new handle. Let's
okay,
say.
Good.
Think the handle fits.
What brings you to the Saturday special today on this Independence Day night, 2009?
Well, two things, Michael. First, I'd like to wish you and your entire staff a happy Independence Day, and thank you for being in the studio.
Oh, thank you.
And second, I want to thank you for having Dr. Stanley Monteith on. I really appreciate that you allow that these alternative views are allowed to be voiced.
Uh-huh.
And you've always been very good about that. You truly are a voice for all of us. And
all who choose to use it, put it that way, you know. So.
Yeah, I think it's good to be open-minded and to look at all sides and not go down the road believing any story on either side. I think you should look at all sources and decide for yourself. And And a lot of these alternative views, you have to admit, you put them together, they do make a lot of sense with what's happening today. Don't you think?
Yeah, I do. Now, I've known Dr. Stan for 41 years. I've known him since I was
41 years.
Yeah, since I was a senior in high school in 1968.
How did you meet him? What was he doing back then?
He was a practicing orthopedic surgeon who was very passionate even back then about letting people know about what's really going on. And he spoke before our U.S. government teacher, Mr. Listener's government class.
Now, that was interesting.
Very interesting. And us kids back then would look at each other, saying, wow, roll our eyes, saying, this guy's a great public speaker. He's a great orator. Yeah. He's amazing. I mean, no one could deny that. But what he's saying is so weird.
But you know, wasn't Bob Listener really practicing what democracy is all about?
Totally.
Listening to everybody.
Yeah.
And I would bet anything that Bob Listener would not agree with much of what Dr. Stan would say, but yeah, he's listening.
Exactly.
And he's putting
and
him in front of the students.
And the next night he would have us go to an ACLU meeting for homework. And we never knew what Bob's politics were. And he listens occasionally to the station. He calls occasionally. He was absolutely the best teacher I ever had, you know, in all those years. And he has a great sense of humor to this day. And it exposes you to all points of view.
Isn't it amazing? It's only like two or three teachers you really remember.
Yeah.
In all the teachers you ever had.
Yeah. Right? No, absolutely the best. Yeah. So anyhow.
Do you think that his class had something to do with your passion for news talk radio?
It could. I've always given my mother Kay credit for that, because she would wake us up to KGO when I was like 11 or 10 years old, you know. And so it goes back that far. But I wasn't particularly interested in government. In fact, Mr. Listener, the very first day of government class in high school, he passed out a piece of paper to everybody and said, I want you to write down what you expect to get out of this class.
And you wrote nothing?
Absolutely nothing. The only reason I'm here is because I have to be. You know, I challenge you to make this an interesting class. Uh-huh. And he did. He did. He really did. So that was in 1968. So that's how long I've known Dr. Stan. Always respected the man. I respect everybody who's passionate about his or her beliefs.
Well, and well-reasoned, too. Uh-huh. I mean, Dr. Stan brings the goods to the table and lays them down and forces you, you know, to really consider what he's got to say.
Right. And so more recently on this station, we've put Alex Jones on, who is young enough to be Dr. Stan's grandson, probably, or even younger than that. I mean, he's less than half of Dr. Stan's age. But Alex Jones is very committed to, enlightening the world to what
I just like his voice.
Very growly.
he compels a certain respect. Oh, my God, I better listen to what he says or I'll be in big trouble.
Yeah, but you're nervous about having him on in the middle of the day, which we don't have on anymore. Mm-hmm. But the reason is because you were – what was the reason people were –
I think he's an evening person. Kind of take the people who are on the outside of conventional thought and put them on the outside of your programming. You take the mainstream and put them on the mainstream of your programming.
That makes sense, I guess. By the way, we want to put out this tease again. I attended the annual new media seminar put on by my friend Michael Harrison, who owns Talkers Magazine, the Bible of the talk radio industry. Every year in the first week of June, he puts on this bash that has the seminar that has just about every talk show host around and every network and so forth present. And every year he awards a Freedom of Speech Award to one special person who, above anybody else in the industry, deserves an award. And this year in 2009, first week of June, Rush Limbaugh received the award for the second time. The first time he had received the award, he was not there to pick it up. Someone else picked it up for him, you know, in his
Ooh,
absence.
Did you record his speech?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, I did. But this, the second time, he did show up, and he came with an entourage of security people that I can't imagine that the President of the United States would have more, would have a more serious entourage of Secret Service people than Rush did. Mm-hmm.
Well, they all wearing sunglasses,
yes,
and had real close cropped hair.
Uh huh.
Good.
Yeah, it was pretty neat. And there was only one entrance into and out of this place. This was held in the in a basement of a skyscraper in New York City.
Wow.
And it was a great place. It was the first time it had been held at this venue. It was very interesting. So we're going to play that probably a little later on in this hour, or next hour. So put the word out. It's 17 minutes
this
long.
This really is a tease.
Yeah, 17 minutes long, and it's maybe the first 5 minutes of it is Michael talking about how precious freedom of speech is, which it really is.
Yeah.
I mean, we're very, very lucky to have...
First and Second Amendment
have in this country, and a lot of people feel that those both of those amendments are under serious attack. Do you believe that, Michael?
Absolutely. Uh-huh. Absolutely.
And do you believe that, Lonesome Jack?
Yes, I think that we have even more. I think that if you look at the Fourth and Fifth Amendments, it just basically we're under attack from all directions. It seems like the only amendment which is safe is the Third Amendment. They're not trying to quarter troops in our homes right now.
Yeah.
The First Amendment is under attack, absolutely, and the Second Amendment, of course, is what guarantees the First Amendment.
It so, basically is the teeth, yes.
Yeah.
You know, several years ago, I think it was in 2005, the FCC held a public hearing on localism and diversity here in Monterey at the Doubletree. It was then the Doubletree, and I attended that. It was filled up the whole room, that same room that they use for the Panetta Institute lecture series. And it was just filled to the brim. It was standing room only. And a bunch of us got up and spoke, and I said my piece. It was mostly liberal people, you know, who were there. And I'll be damned if I didn't get they didn't cheer me. They cheered me big time because my solution for bringing localism and diversity back or maximizing it for radio stations is to change the law back to what it was when I got into the radio business, which was, this was in 1991 when I first got into the business here with KSCO. One owner may not own more than one AM station and one FM station, and no TV station and no newspaper in the same market.
Let me ask you this, though. Don't you think that's where we're headed anyway without them making a law of it? Because if you look at the great consolidators of media, they're all in the fiscal dump.
Yeah.
What is it, the company that owns KGO San Francisco?
Less than a dollar, their stock.
Less than a dollar. Their stock is worth less than a dollar.
Yeah, Citadel.
Yeah. Well, if you look at it, it's all the same, you know, stuff. No wonder they're in the dumper.
You know, we might have to purchase. We might have to bail out
KGO.
KGO. You know, I'm thinking seriously about doing that. And if there's anybody out there who would like to, I'm not even sure. Well,
I just found a penny here.
Yeah. There's anybody out in KSCO country who would be in favor of KSCO acquiring KGO? Let us know. Give us a call at 479-1080. You know, it might be better that we just stay who we are and, you know, recognize ourselves
what
as
else
a local
is there?
Station.
What else is there, Michael?
We are who we are.
There's nothing else. Well, it's local is everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, here's what I was going to say about my speech, which I've played once or twice, you know, in the previous few years. And this is what made people cheer. I said, look, if you want to have localism and you want to have diversity, what you do is you go back to you have a serious limit instead of essentially no limit on the number of stations that that a large that any company or the same owner can own within a market. I mean, that absolutely destroyed diversity. You know, allowing
boy, did it ever.
Yeah, and everybody cheered. I mean, like I was some genius or something. It's just a no-brainer what you need to do. And yet, I'm learning now that if under the term diversity, you know, it can come to bite us in the ass.
It will.
You know,
best intentions.
Because I think diversity is a wonderful thing. Okay, but my idea of diversity and President Obama's and his FCC designee, their idea of diversity is very, very different from mine. It's my understanding that their idea of diversity involves having little local Politburos.
Sure.
All over the country.
Acorn.
Yeah, to dictate what the local radio stations are allowed to broadcast.
And they will look at you, Michael Swirling, and say, you are not diverse in the correct way. You have to be diverse in this way instead of this, that way, instead of your way. Your way is not the right way. Our way is right. This, you can see this happening in China during the Great Cultural Revolution, when the Red Guards superintended every little village and every little street corner and every little neighborhood. And if you did not do what the Red Guards wanted you to do, what happened? They came and got you and they hauled you away and took you out into the country and you shoveled manure for the rest of your life. That is what the correct form of diversity is going to be. And that's what's frightening. And that's why there is an incredible attack on the First Amendment and the Second Amendment. And that's why I should be broadcasting in the middle of the night instead of prime time, huh?
Well, I'll tell you, you're absolutely right about that. I would be curious to know what the regulations were in the former Soviet Union, what their regulations.
Same thing, and in Nazi Germany, too, they had the brown shirts, and the Chinese had the red shirts, and now America has the acorn.
Well, so I do believe because they hold, if they decided to nationalize the, well, it is nationalized already, I guess. If they decided to remove the certain broadcast licenses, like from the stations that broadcast Rush Limbaugh, they were the main thorn in the side of the people who are in control right now.
Sure.
They just decided that they're not going to be licensed. They're just not going to be licensed anymore. Well, what would happen? What would happen to free speech?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean, because there's this thing called the internet. And they're saying that governments can control the internet and
China
can filter it. I don't understand how they do that, Michael. Can you explain that to me?
Sure. Well, they're putting in filtering software in all new computers. They just stayed the ruling, but all new computers being sold in China will henceforth have a filtering software installed in them, which will allow, I guess, the government to manage what is being purviewed. So there it is.
But who in the government? I mean, how could anybody? I think you're sort of getting
off
a little too out there. You think I am. All I am is just willing to let people spout off what they believe, however crazy as it sounds, on the station.
And you will be allowed to do that just as so long as the people who are approving what you say and what your listeners and your callers say will say what they want them to say.
You're scaring the bleep out of me now.
Well, this is what happened in the Soviet Union. This is what happened in Nazi Germany. This is what happened in China. I studied Chinese for 3 years during the time of the Great Cultural Revolution, and this is what they did. Every neighborhood had its political commissar that watched over the thought and actions of everybody. And this is what they are doing here. This is what your localism is going to be all about.
Yeah, it's like your thought.
So we've always been a good localism station.
Doesn't matter. We've always been good localism in what we think localism is.
Yeah, you've been true localism, not really the politically correct or the one that the government might approve of.
Yeah, that's correct.
All right. Well, listen, Lonesome Jack, thank you very much for calling the Saturday special.
Okay, happy 4th to both of you.
Hey, you
happy
too. Okay,
to
have
you.
A great one. Here comes A. Frank in Salinas. Is it A.
Hey.
Frank in Salinas?
How you doing?
Good.
Did you cut Rory off? Did he finish what he was saying?
Oh, my God. I thought he had, but maybe I did that.
Well, we had to open the show officially, and he didn't hang around until the show got officially open.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I just thought there was a little...
No, I mean, golly, the last thing in the world I would want to do is censor Rory because he thinks he's got a good brain on his inside his cranium.
Yes, I think he challenges Charlie's assertion that
that he is the smartest man in Watsonville.
Do you think Charlie is the finest mind in Watsonville as he asserts?
Pretty close. Roy gives him a run for his money, I think.
I'm not laughing at Charlie. He may well be. He may well be the finest mind in Watsonville. And in fact, there's a new promo now where he calls himself something else. Nikki, you want to grab that promo? Well, I don't think Nikki can grab the promo if she's.
I would like to see a news organization, you know, the hourly news, whatever, like Fox News, that is just gives the truth. And as a listener to KSEO, I really appreciate hearing truth.
Well, wait a minute here. What the heck is the truth?
What KSEO broadcasts?
Fox says they're fair and balanced. They bring in the liberal point of view. I just want to hear the truth.
I think the truth is only something that we can perceive by listening to as many different observations of what truth is as possible. I mean, that's what they taught me in high school civics, is don't believe anything you read. Read everything you can and synthesize what you see and what you hear and look for the truth in the aggregate.
I'd like to see a news organization that doesn't report anything about a celebrity, Michael Jackson's death or Britney Spears. Just treat it like it's non-news and don't report it.
But it is huge news.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, I'm getting awfully sick of everything Michael Jackson.
It doesn't teach me anything.
But it's you can't deny that it's huge news. It's just
no, it isn't. What's news is what's going through Congress or is out.
I didn't say it's bigger news than that. In my opinion, I think I would agree with you. I think what's much more important to our country is what's happening in Congress and that it's terrible that we're easily diverted.
Don't you think that what has happened to Michael Jackson is also happening to our country?
You mean we're being killed or dying?
Well, he is a cultural icon. What's happening to America? What the heck is going on here? Isn't what happened to Michael Jackson kind of what's happening in the halls of Congress in Sacramento? What's happening to us?
Okay, report it and make that point, but that connection isn't made by
I just
people.
Made it.
Thank you.
And you can refute it, too. You can say, oh, there's no connection there. But, you know, Michael Jackson was such a huge cultural icon, you know, and so in China, in classical Chinese history, the change of a dynasty was always accompanied by natural disasters like earthquakes or floods or something like that. They always kind of went together. So, I'm just wondering if, you know, the fall of Michael Jackson isn't kind of indicative to what we are doing to our country. Taking too many bad drugs or something, I don't know.
Why is there such a pregnant pause on the Saturday special? This is not acceptable. It's beginning to sound like Good Morning Monterey Bay. Lots of dead air.
All right, get off the air. Thanks. Yeah.
Oh, don't do that. Just say something. Okay, there goes A. Frank in Salinas. And that opens up a line at 479-1080.
I'm chasing your audience away, Michael.
No, that's okay. But there are no callers, and that either means that what we're putting out is not of interest or there are no listeners
on
the 4th of July.
No, what it means is that it's time to play your speech.
Should we do that?
Yeah.
Okay, well, no, wait. Oh, look, someone's calling. Someone's calling. Who is it? Who is
MZ.
It? Yeah, who is it?
This is Scott.
Scott!
Sir, last Saturday special was the best show ever.
There you go.
It was clear, concise, straightforward. It seems as though...
So different from our typical Saturday specials.
Well, it's just the subject that you were talking about being so mainstream.
Uh-huh.
You know, I've never seen June's painting, but I believe it's true. MZ, I see you as a champion of the truth, as a champion of God, and definitely by KGO. Definitely, you can make it popular again. You
think I should buy KGO?
You've got your fingers on the pulse of the nation. Both of you, Michael.
Okay.
And, you know, it's e pluribus unum, out of many, one. Al Gore once said e unum pluribus, which is exactly the opposite. Out of one, many. And that's what I think their definition of diversity is. They're trying to divide us up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you're right about Michael Jackson. It's a diversion. And I think that it's used over and over when those people were acquitted for any crime at Waco. Then the judge says, well, what about a, after they said not guilty, what about a weapons violation? So they said, okay, maybe there was a weapons violation, you know, according to the skewed evidence. And they were given, they were doled out 3 to 40 year sentences on the day that they followed O.J. Simpson around all day. It was a total washout.
I was going to bring that up, actually, about the O.J. Simpson. I never understood why that was as popular as it was, but it was. And I don't understand why 500,000 people signed up to go to the Michael Jackson Memorial in about 10 minutes. I don't understand that. But,
you know,
that shows you that I'm just out of the loop here.
Maybe they're selling hot dogs.
I'm just not in the program.
Well, he's right. What Michael Olson said is correct. He's a cultural icon. And there's a changing of the culture. You know, it seems very fishy to me. I don't think Michael Jackson was a drug addict, although he certainly, you know, needed help sleeping and such like that. Maybe they just did him in. Who knows?
Well, what did they say? He said he's worth much more dead than alive.
And he certainly is. That's what's, yeah.
And that's very sad. And don't you think it's strange, really, if you think about it, that O.J. Simpson, there was no evidence that was not contaminated with, you know, all the blood evidence had preservative in it. And if he had committed a crime like that, there would be so much evidence.
Oh, no, Scott.
Sir, yeah.
Scott, I'm not going to cut you off. Well, I will in a little bit.
Okay,
little
I know bit, you will. But one juror,
but
Michael.
But really, surely you can't think that O.J. is innocent. Surely you can't.
MZ, listen to this. One juror said, and I read her, she said that I think O.J. did it. But I voted not guilty because the state failed to produce one hair, one drop of blood, not even one cell, Michael, of evidence was produced that wasn't contaminated.
Okay.
It was definitely framed. Ask anybody about it. They said that they couldn't frame a guilty man, that the Los Angeles Sheriff's Department couldn't frame a guilty man.
I want to thank you for calling.
Thank you, Michael.
I truly, truly do. Someone named Roger has sent me an email saying about the archive of the last Saturday special with Stan Monteith. MZ, why has this not been posted in your archives like all the rest of the Saturday specials? Is someone dropping the ball? My answer to Roger is yes, me. Thanks for the heads up. We'll fix this. Yes. Oh, my God, we have almost full lines. I think we do have full lines, except, no, there's one line open that Scott just vacated, 479-1080. Let's go to our next caller, Roger. Hi, Roger.
Well, you took the wind out of my sails, Michael. How are you doing today?
Fine, except I have a frog in my throat, so I'm having to do this a lot, which is irritating to the audience, and I understand
you can
join
that. Me. I have one all the time, so maybe it's because I smoke too much.
Yeah.
Anyway, so happy Independence Day, and like I said, you took the, you know, you kind of beat me to the punch.
No, I appreciate it. That gives me an opportunity to let people know that they can listen to archived Saturday special. All you have to do is just type in. You don't even need to go to our website. You can do it that way. If you go to our website, ksco.com, you can click on Listen to the Last Saturday Special. There's another place where you can click to listen to the last Dead Doctors Don't Lie program. But if you want to see a whole plethora of memorable Saturday specials, because all we do is we just add one to the stack every time we produce it, except I forgot to last week. I mean, the best one every people
well,
say,
you know,
Dr. Stan, I go ahead and forget to post it. We have to find other people around here, you know, to do things like promotions so that we could have our van in the world's shortest parade that's going on right now. You know,
Dr. Stan's a real asset to this community. And, see, I missed part of the show. So I'm thinking, I'm going to come back and listen to the archive.
We'll see to it that it gets archived later today.
Great. Well, you know, I called Rosemary about this, and she said she was going to beat whoever was responsible into submission. So I point her in your direction.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, okay, thanks for good stuff.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it. Brookdale Mike, you're on the Saturday special. Hey.
Yeah. MD, KSCO is definitely my favorite radio station.
This is good.
And as far as last week's show is, the only reason I didn't call in it is because Dr. Stan was doing such a great job. I just didn't want to interrupt his rhythm.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, I was criticized for not having any phone calls the first hour. And I said, no, I it was too riveting. It would have been giving our listeners, doing a disservice to our listeners to even invite phone calls during the first hour.
Yeah, and what I think about, you know, our society, I think there's a lot of evidence pointing to what Dr. Stan says is true. But I think a lot of us are just afraid to believe it.
And by the way, what Dr. Stan says in a nutshell, it's not about left, it's not about right, it's not about liberals or conservatives, it's not about Democrats or Republicans. I know you know it, Mike, but I want to let other people know
They
didn't. What it's about is very, very wealthy people who want to control everything in the world. The world's health, the world's wealth, the world's everything. Every people's behavior, what people can do, what they can't do. And my next door neighbor is a member of the Bohemian Club, and he was very excited that he tried for like 20 years to get into the Bohemian Club and finally made it.
Wow.
You know, do you know about the Bohemian Club?
Oh, yeah.
What do you know about it?
They are a bunch of well-meaning, well-to-do, very influential people who gather in the redwoods up north of San Francisco once a year.
Yeah.
And they hang around the trees, and they have secret handshakes.
Uh-huh. And they worship an owl.
An owl?
They worship a statue of an owl. And Alex Jones snuck in and made a video of that he sells or even gives away on the internet, I think. You know. But anyhow, go ahead, Brookdale Mike. We want to finish up and move on to other callers here.
Right out. The only other thing I wanted to say is I'm on Charlie's show every day. Just about. I mean, I listen to him every day. And I mean, from the day he started, and I remember when you were talking about that he was going to have to either get some sponsors or you're going to have to let him go.
A long time ago.
Yeah, I know that. It was a few years ago.
Yeah.
And I was just rooting for him to stay on. You know, even though I disagree politically with what Charlie says, most of the time, I just love the guy. You know, I mean, he's just a really, really cool guy.
He's a very lovable man.
Isn't he? And he's well-meaning, and I think that he's in that same boat. He doesn't want to believe that there's conspiracy, but he won't even look at the evidence.
Yeah. Well, maybe we can get Charlie to mellow somewhat. By the way, if you want to call us, we got open lines at 479-1080. Thank you, Brookdale Mike. Here's Kenny in Watsonville. Welcome to the Saturday special, Kenny. You are on the air.
You know, there's one reason why Charlie can't be the finest mind in Watsonville.
Oh.
He doesn't actually live in Watsonville. And that's the only reason.
Oh, okay.
I try to challenge him, but, you know, to no avail.
Wait a minute. Why? Because he doesn't live in the city of Watsonville. Might it be possible that he's the finest mind in Watsonville? He might be the finest mine, M-I-N-E, in Watsonville. No, I don't know. But, it's fun to talk about people behind their backs.
And on this day of celebrating independence, I hope everybody's going to reflect on how we got our independence and how we're quickly losing it. And you were talking about the Constitution being under attack. And I would use the word ignored rather than under attack. It's a lot more subtle what's happening. They're not.
Is there a difference?
Yes, because under attack to me means that it's visible. You can really see it. Everybody knows it's going on. Being ignored, they're depending on the fact that people are ignorant and they don't even know what's guaranteed by the Constitution and what's limited.
I didn't know about that. I think one of the cruelest ways of attacking a person is to ignore them.
Okay, well, then it's passive-aggressive and all that psychological stuff. You can get into that if you want. But I'm just making the point that it's really subtle and not like a battle. You know, attack conjures up this, you know, we're going to have a huge hearing on whether or not this law is constitutional or not. And that's not happening.
Yeah.
What's happening is they're just rolling it over. They're just completely ignoring it. And to me, that's significantly different because people, it's like the frog analogy where they say, you know, you put the frog in the water and it's room temperature and you turn up the heat very slowly. And to me, that's more analogous of what's happening than a huge, you know, battle scene with, you know, rockets glaring and things like that.
Hmm.
But the other thing I wanted to say was, even if half of what Dr. Stan and a lot of these quote-unquote conspiracy theory people think is going on, even if half of that's right, I'm afraid that that means something very significant.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, we're going to have another revolution. And I'm hoping that not even half of that's correct, but they keep making some pretty good points, and it's devastating to me. I mean, the government's completely ignoring federalism, the separation of powers, limited government, constitutional government. They don't even pay attention to what's included in Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution any longer. They just pass whatever laws and omnibus legislation they want. And it, you know, it's
and it's upheld by the liberal Supreme Court if it gets there.
And, you know, if you go back, this is going to sound kind of John Birchy, but I think he was prophetic in some ways. If you go back and read the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto, we're there. They didn't achieve it by armed insurrection or by total government fiat.
Right.
But it's being established slowly but surely. And I don't know if this is a conspiracy or if it's just the way people think and they're trying to push.
It's what a lot of people want. Take care of me. Take care of me. Feed me. Take care of me. Please take care of me. I'll give you all of my rights if you'll take care of me.
And the greatest nation on earth wasn't built that way. It was built in the
opposite.
That's
what the vote is.
Pardon me?
That's what the vote is. Take care of me.
Well, I think there's going to be a big backlash in 2010. I really do.
That's our great hope. And that's what I really wanted to make that point as well, that 2010, I mean, we always say this election coming up is the most important and blah, blah, blah. But I truly believe this next election coming up is the most important one we've had.
But a lot of damage will be done between now and then.
Right, but
hopefully it could be undone.
That's the whole thing. I believe it is reversible with the right people.
If it's caught soon enough, sort of like cancer.
But we need a lot more citizen patriot people to run and somehow, you know, get through the...
Who wants to subject him or herself to that kind of abuse?
That's the problem, and that's what, you know, well, think back at the American Revolution. It's very much the same thing. People were, except they were abused more than verbally or by having a private investigator looking up your, you know what. But they were risking everything, you know, their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor.
Did you read John Adams?
Sure.
Wasn't that incredible, the extent to which the press predated upon those guys? It was just like, ate them up.
Yes.
And so it's really no different than what's going on today.
Except it's... the only difference is it's much more pervasive, and they're so much, I think they're more in league with each other today than they were in those days. I think, you know, the press was just kind of a bunch of disparate people, shooting off their mouths. But the watchdog notion of the press was active at least then. And now there's no watchdog.
I'm not sure that was all that true either, you know. And again, we get back to this whole thing about what is the truth. You know, I think that significant.
That's what Pontius Pilate said, by the way. He said to Jesus, what is truth?
Yeah, well, you know, you have half the press on one side of the political fence and half the press on the other side. So which one is telling the truth? Neither of them. You know, and you have to listen to both of them and find out what's really happening yourself. And it takes a lot of consideration to figure that out.
And you can't do that unless you're listening to a voice for everyone.
That's correct.
Or listening to lots of independent voices yourself, which is a lot harder to do than to tune into one place where you
That's right. That's always the problem, is that a good democracy takes work. Mm-hmm. And so there's so many people out there that just want to say, take care of me, feed me. I don't want to work. I don't want to think. I want to turn on the television at 5 o'clock and know what to think.
I want to turn it on all day.
It takes work. An informed electorate.
Kenny,
and that
thank
takes
you.
Work.
Thank you very much for your call, Kenny.
We
appreciate
it.
Our phone number is 479-1080 in area 831. Email address personally for me is mz@ksco.com. I do have my email open. So if you want to email me, chances are we will read it on the air. Or you can give us a call again at 479-1080 in area 831. It's the Saturday special on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. We have Michael Olson, general manager of the radio station here, and I'm the MZ, and we invite you, the callers, to participate on this Independence Day 2009. Wayne in Brookdale, welcome to the Saturday special.
Gentlemen, Wayne from Brookdale. This morning we had an antique radio show, and it was versed as this being America's birthday. Very interesting, but they posed the question, if this is America's birthday, what is it we were able to give as a birthday gift?
Get as a birthday gift?
Yeah, give America as a birthday gift. Well, I'll interject and tell you. The foreman for the forum, the People's Forum, which is the Saturday special, gives a forum for the people like great men like Stanley Monteith, my old doctor, and we're speaking out for freedom and peace on this station. So I think the gift for Happy Birthday America is the Michael Swirling Saturday special.
You're getting me all choked up here. Thank
well,
you
don't mind. I got a frog, too, on this one.
Wow. Thank you, Wayne.
Do you remember the show? Feed me. Feed
sure,
me.
Sure. That was the Little Shop of Horrors.
Oh,
Jonathan
isn't it beautiful?
Something or other. Jonathan Hayes or something like yeah, feed me.
That's it. I love that show.
Yeah, I was thinking of that when Michael was saying that, you know, just a minute ago.
So was I.
Call it out. Isn't it amazing? We're on the same wavelength.
Well, you're feeding the people with wonderful freedom. Stanley Monteith is my old doctor. I had trouble, and he straightened my bones.
Well, guess what? You're going to get to hear him in about an hour on this station.
Because
good. He will be hosting the Perspectives program, as he does once every month.
And
or
he's going to come in with a very big head.
It's okay, because he's...
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Yeah,
no,
speaking
Stan,
for the lamb.
Yeah.
We have heard the weeping of the lamb and the roaring of the lion.
Uh-huh.
When Stanley Monteith speaks to me, I hear the roar of the lamb and the weeping of the lion for his peaceful word about the Lord.
Wow.
Okay. Amen.
Hey, well, appreciate your call.
Thank you so much, Mr. Swirling. A great gift for America, free speech, Stanley Monteith, and independence.
Thanks for the kind words. Yeah, and that is the topic, not Stanley Monteith, but it's the topic of the speech that we're going to play for 17 minutes. It's
How
actually
are we
going to
play a 17-minute speech in this hour?
Not in this hour. Yeah,
you
you're
said
right. I said probably in this first hour, but here it is. There's only 4 minutes left. We haven't even done the commercials.
Hey,
how many commercials
I'm all ears. I'll signing off. Brookdale
okay,
Wayne.
Thank you, Wayne. Nikki, how many do we have? Kill
feed
the promos.
Me.
Yeah, Nikki, how many? Nikki?
She's shaking counting. Her head.
Yeah, okay, well, yeah.
Do you want to play...
Miss Idaho. That's the
Alex?
Voice of Miss Idaho.
Alex Jones?
No.
Okay,
no.
If I cut that one out, then we've got 2.5 minutes.
That's about enough. We'll take Dan and Felton's call real quick, and that should then it'll take us to the top of the hour. Dan, you're on KSCO on the Saturday special.
Hi, Michael and
hey.
Michael.
Hey there.
Hey, Dan.
I wanted to say that last week's Saturday special was just blew me away. I love Dr. Stan and Dr. Wallach both, and I remember the last show time they were on together. And they can do great service at this time with something that's going to affect us all. It's this Codex Alimentarius with the health care.
Sure.
And,
I've told both of them for years that they shouldn't be hollering at each other like they did in that December day in 1996 on
know,
the station.
I was
because
sad.
there's so much that they're on the same page about.
Yeah.
And Stan Dr. Stan said to me, he says, I'm sure happy that Dr. Wallach called. It was heartwarming, which it was. You know, it was great. It was just terrific. And when
yeah.
Dr. Wallach called during
but,
the second hour last week.
I really wish you get them on together again. They both agreed to it. Because this Codex Alimentarius, it's already taken effect in Germany, Austria, and New Zealand.
Yeah.
Any herbal remedy that is over-the-counter is going to be so weak it'll be nothing. And if you want the real thing, it has to be made by a pharmaceutical company, and
yeah.
it has to be prescribed by a doctor.
Right.
And let's say, take an example, 1 ounce tincture of echinacea may cost $8, $9. It's $70 in Germany. My neighbor that works, travels there, confirmed that. And it's going to put Wallach out of business and Bernie and Do I have one more minute?
Sure. We'll do the commercials. We'll put them in the next hour. Let's just do it. We've got them.
This is a little bit different, but it's related because I depend on Bernie and friends and people like his guest.
This is the program that airs live on KSCO from 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. on Saturday morning.
The problem I have, I live up in the mountains, and ever since the transmitters were tweaked about 3 months ago, there's so much static, I just can't hear them.
We're working on that. So thank you for letting us know.
Because I encourage people to wake up early and listen to that program. They sound like hayseeds, but there's so much good information.
What's
on that show.
What's wrong with being a hayseed?
I'll take that back.
Our own Miss Idaho could be called a hayseed.
I was actually called the girl from the corn.
She missed everything.
You can't hear me.
Anyway, Codex Alimentarius is coming up in America this year, is what they said. And we've got to try to stop it. This thing is so crooked.
So it's not just Codex Alimentarius. It's just one thing after the other. It's cap and trade. Oh, my God. It's health care. Oh, my God. It's the fairness doctrine or localism. Oh, my God. It's one thing after the other. Tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, listen, one last tease for what we're going to do. We have a brand new world premiere of a K's commentary, right, at the top of the
hour. I thought you weren't allowed to say world premiere.
I just said it. It just slipped out.
But yes, we do.
Okay.
Now, is this a promise that we're going to hear this?
Yeah. Or? Yeah, it is. It is. We'll do that or else. Yeah, we got to do that. Anyhow, it's KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. It's 11 o'clock. Here is Fox News.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Stanley. North Korea drawing negative attention its way with more short-range missile firings and the ongoing threat of a long-range one in the direction of Hawaii.
U.S. forces are on high alert in the Pacific and around Hawaii for a possible another launch from North Korea. Warplanes and battleships are at the ready. Pyongyang's possible launch stands in defiance of U.N. sanctions. They've already launched 4 just a couple of days ago and 7 more overnight. They're the ballistic missile type, basically Scuds, which are outlawed by the U.N. and specifically aimed at defiance of the U.N. and at the same time upsetting their neighbors to the south, South Korea and Japan. All the missiles launched in the last 2 days are short to mid-range. Only 400 or 500 miles at the most is their reach, but still enough to upset the U.S. and our allies. In Hawaii, Adam Housley, Fox News Radio.
Vice President Joe Biden, President Obama's Iraq war point man, spending this holiday weekend in country, as are the 130,000 U.S. troops still there.
In the week America handed over towns and cities to Iraqi security forces, the vice president got a security brief from the U.S. commander here. He also met his son, Beau Biden, who's serving here with the Delaware National Guard and who shared soldiers' gripes, such as the strain of deployment on marriages. Biden also presided over a citizenship ceremony for foreigners serving in the U.S. military, and he had an informal meet and greet with the troops in a base chow hall, where he joked, executed Saddam Hussein must be turning in his grave. In Baghdad, Alistair Wanklin, Fox News Radio.
Lance Armstrong moving fast in the first stage of the Tour de France, but not fast enough to overtake Fabian Cancellara of Switzerland, who had the fastest time over the 9.6-mile time trial. 180 riders will be covering 2,150 miles through 6 countries over 3 weeks, finishing July 26th in Paris. And it was Serena Williams' turn to win the Wimbledon women's final this year, beating Sister Venus for the first time in 6 years. It's her 3rd Wimbledon title, 11th Grand Slam championship. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Here's another encore presentation from Fox News Channel.
He is a 7-time Tour de France winner. Lance Armstrong goes on the record. Greta spoke with him in Washington.
So what brings you here? We see this big sign, but why don't you tell us what brings you here?
My foundation and the 4 previous surgeons general came together to create the National Call to Action, which specifically revolves in and around cancer prevention and survivorship, and really laying out a game plan for our country and how we can prevent the disease. As we know, that's one of the key elements, and ultimately how we can go on and live, you know, healthy and fruitful lives and have a high quality of life.
We want to prevent it,
yeah.
Cure it, and also if you do have it, we want to make it a survivor thing. So there seems to be 3 elements. You're a huge inspiration. How do you tell them not to be scared?
Well, I think it's pretty normal and natural to be scared. I was scared, but at the end of the day, I had amazing friends and family and doctors and nurses around me that constantly supported me, and I think you can't say enough about that.
Be listening for more encore presentations from Fox News Talk.
A heartfelt warning from the government on this 4th of July, stay away from illegal fireworks.
Assistant Attorney General Tony West says across the nation, tons of illegally made explosives sold as holiday fireworks have been seized in recent years.
We've seen over 55 convictions and civil injunctions that have been entered to stop people from selling and manufacturing illegal fireworks.
West says it's often fairly easy to spot illegal fireworks because while legal items carry written descriptions and directions and warning labels,
the illegal ones, you know, they'll have no warnings, no description of any kind.
Often purchased on roadsides and on the internet, he says illegally made items are often unstable and can be even more dangerous than legal fireworks. In Washington, Chris Barnes, Fox News Radio.
Millions of Michael Jackson fans registering online for a pair of the free tickets to his Tuesday memorial in Los Angeles. The 8,750 winners will be drawn at random tomorrow. A tarnished top-ranked baseball whiz returns.
Look who's back in baseball.
Batting third, number 99, left fielder Manny Ramirez.
Los Angeles Dodgers outfielder Manny Ramirez returning to the field last night after a 50-game suspension for violating Major League Baseball's drug policy. What was the fan reaction like? Believe it or not, a lot of people stood and cheered as the Dodgers were on the road at Petco Park in San Diego. But not the greatest of returns baseball-wise. Manny went 0 for 3 with a walk. After the game, Manny said it was great to be back out there, admitting he was nervous at first, thanking his fans for supporting him. Ken Duffy, Fox News Radio.
San Jose, California's Joey Chestnut coming east to successfully defend his championship in the annual 4th of July hot dog eating contest at Coney Island, devouring a world record 68 dogs and buns and not even satisfying himself.
Oh, I knew I had the capacity for 70-plus hot dogs. The buns were a little bit slow today. Once I realized I had a cushion, helped me keep my pace and keep it safely.
Sound courtesy ESPN. I'm Chris Stanley, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You are tuned in to KSCO 1080. I'm Nikki James. I've got your Central Coast forecast for this 4th of July weekend. Today we're going to see a few clouds, then clearing up this afternoon to sunny skies and a high of 74, west winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy, low of 54, west winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Sunday, we're going to have mostly sunny skies and a high of 71. The west winds will be between 10 and 15 miles per hour. Your Monterey Bay boaters forecast for the weekend. We got today southeast winds 5 knots becoming west in the afternoon. Wind waves 2 feet or less, mixed swell northwest and southwest, 2 feet or less, patchy fog. Tonight, southwest winds 10 knots becoming south after midnight. Wind waves 2 feet or less and a mixed northwest swell of 2 feet or less. Sunday, we have southeast winds 5 knots becoming west in the afternoon. The wind waves 2 feet or less and mixed northwest-southwest swell 2 feet or less. Current temperatures in Watsonville, it's 61 degrees. It's 58 in Monterey and 60 in Salinas. We are at 61 degrees here in Santa Cruz outside KSCO Studios. The official time is 11:06 and 33 seconds on this Saturday, July 4th, 2009. Up next, the second hour of the Saturday special. Stay tuned. KSCO Santa Cruz, I'm Nikki James.
Okay, welcome to hour number one. Hour number two. Periodically, our hosts, and many you know who you are on this station, will say, welcome back to hour number two. It's not welcome back to hour number two. It's welcome to hour number two, right?
And that's assuming that they left?
Yeah, no, welcome back to hour number two of, you know, whatever program
here
it is.
Here we are.
So it's not that at all. Everything's sort of out of sync today, so let's just, before I forget, let's do the hour two opening.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have
All right, we're having sort of an informal time here on Independence Day 2009 on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCR. We're going to be on for an hour. You can call us.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really got to go to KSCR Radio. Bye.
We'll try to keep to the format by running Kay's commentary. Got a brand new one. If you can play that, that'd be great, Nikki. And then we'll catch up on commercials from last hour. And then hopefully we'll do our freedom of speech thing if I can get it going here. So take it away.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kay's Whirling.
This directive, to me personally, begs to be a commentary for those of you who are unhappy with the direction that Mr. Obama is taking us. This is from the National Taxpayers Union asking for a donation, any amount, to help send this following petition to our Congress to finally put America first. There are 7 directives with my own comments after each one, and it's called Petition to the Congress of the United States. Number 1, balance the federal budget now. Doubling the national debt over the next 10 years will bankrupt our nation. Let's please make this a first priority. Number 2, defend this nation's currency. A currency that is beholden to the whims of foreign countries will decimate America. Maintain the value of our dollar by refusing to go into debt and borrow and borrow. We must stop the borrowing now if we are to remain a viable nation. Number 3, stop rewarding failure by giving a handful of greedy, corrupt, and mismanaged banks and corporations billions of our tax dollars. Let them stand on their own. And if they must declare bankruptcy, let them come back on their own without the government's help, which is destructive. General Motors should have remained privately owned, and Obama had no right to inject the government to now own the company. It was really payback to the auto unions who helped him become president. And now those unions own most of General Motors. Number 4, stop redistributing our income to those who do not pay taxes and refuse to work. I say, by continuing to give welfare to the lazy, able-bodied, we're denying them the self-respect and dignity they would feel and enjoy if they were forced to be accountable for themselves and their families. We the people should not be forced to support deadbeats forever. We must, however, always support the ill, the handicapped, the elderly, and the needy military. Number 5, stop giving ungrateful foreign countries and dictators who hate us and are committed to our destruction billions of our hard-earned tax dollars. I say, how much longer are we going to be stupid suckers who are benefactors to countries that are leeches and dislike us? Number 6, put teeth in the Recovery, Accountability, and Transparency Board, known as RAT, that is charged with overseeing the $747 billion non-stimulating stimulus bill. I say, billions of our tax dollars are at risk of being squandered. And I also say, who exactly are these people on that board? I hope it's not the likes of Barney Frank or Chris Dodd, who should have been put out of office last fall for their part in the Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae fiasco. Term limits for our Congress are now a must. They must be made accountable. And finally, number 7, stop patronizing us. Stop the fancy names. Call them bad debt bloated by irresponsible scammers that you, the Congress, now want us to pay so the cozy relationship between Congress and the big money interests is not disturbed. I say, you're supposed to be representing us and not your own self-interests. put the crooks in jail. It's time to put America first. Please, let's wake up before we lose our country altogether. For KSCO, this is Kay Swirling.
Wow. Yeah, you know, my mother's right. No question about it. Wow, when are we going to have some humor?
Humor?
Yeah, it's too much.
Don't you have something humorous to play?
No, it's not humorous, but it's important. It's important.
Okay.
Well, we'll do some jokes in the last 10 minutes of the program or something like that.
Okay.
Well, let's do those commercials from last hour.
Okay.
And then last chance to call everybody you know to listen to this these two very, very stimulating speeches that I'm going to play back to back. It's actually one speech where one person sort of pitches to the other. It's Michael Harrison, who is the owner and publisher of Talkers Magazine, the ultimate trade magazine for the talk radio industry. And he introduces Rush Limbaugh, who is the 2009 recipient for a record second time. Not in a row, but a second time since this award has been given, about the last dozen years or so, the annual Freedom of Speech Award. And Rush graciously accepted the award from Michael in front of all of us here from the talk radio industry who attended this amazing event in New York City a few weeks back. And I wanted to share it with you and Will right after this group of commercials from wonderful, appreciated KSU advertisers, whom we hope you will take your business to.
Honey, why are we sitting on this fence?
They said we should wait.
Who's they?
You know, they, the people that say you should wait.
If you've been waiting for the right time to buy a home, act now to take advantage of an $8,000 first-time homebuyer tax credit with no repayment required before it expires December 1st. The National Association of Realtors wants you to know that homeownership is an investment in your future. To learn more about your local market, talk to a realtor. Every market's different. Call a realtor today. Only realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors. Markets do vary.
I've learned a few things cruising this coastline the last 30 years. Let's be clear about it. Dumping sewage anywhere in our waterways pollutes the environment. It's simple. Remember to plan ahead. Boats with holding tanks must pull in and pump out at shoreside pump-out stations. If you have a boat without a holding tank, plan your trip to use shoreside restrooms.
Don't waste away our waterways. Proper disposal of sewage protects our waterways. Dump at the pump.
Hey, if it's your boat, it's your responsibility.
For more information, visit our website at boatresponsibly.com. Brought to you by the California Department of Boating and Waterways.
Hello, I'm Robert Stangero. Many Santa Cruzans know me as Big Boy. The original Stangero family has been in business since 1879. Our name stands for quality, quantity, and great service. Our Regilda's restaurant on the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf is still the fishing headquarters for the area. It's where fishermen gather every morning for coffee and breakfast before heading out on the bay. Stop by Gilda's and say hello. Both my son Dino and I look forward to meeting you at Gilda's at the center of the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf.
Many of you know me as an artist and author of the book Sand Between Your Toes, but many others know me as the realtor who sold over 700 homes in Santa Cruz County. Hi, I'm Sally Bookman, realtor with Keller Williams Realty, and I'm here to tell you about my well-proven home selling program, Hassle Free Selling. The Sally Bookman Hassle Free Selling program offers flexible fees and no upfront costs. And here's the best part. Though I've served hundreds of happy home sellers, if you're not happy, you can fire me. But I think you will be happy. Yes, I have sold over 700 homes in Santa Cruz County. I'm not trying to brag. I'm applying for a job. I want to be your realtor. Discover why I've been able to sell over 700 homes. Call for my free hassle-free selling information packet at 831-818-9959. Or visit hasslefreeselling.com. That's hasslefreeselling.com. I'm Sally Bookman with Keller Williams Realty. Call me if you're thinking about selling your home. 818-9959.
Hi, folks. Warren Knox here of Knox Roofing. We all have been given the Bill of Rights drafted by our forefathers. They gave us liberties and freedom basic to our American way of life. Well, I decided to create the Bill of Rights with the relation to your home. Your home has basic rights. It has the right to stand there proudly. Your home has the right to a leak-proof, fireproof roof. Your home has the right to be properly ventilated to avoid musty, trapped air and mold. Your home has the right to be insulated against the elements of heat or cold. Your home has the right to look nice, to stand tall and proud. Your home has the right to be protected by warranties and companies willing to be able to be there on a moment's notice. Your home has rights against insect and critter invasion. You know, if your home could talk, I'll bet its rights would be violated in some way or another. Here at Knox Roofing, we're here to defend your home's rights. Just give us a call at 461-0634. Okay, thanks, folks.
Look at all the cars. Lots of colored cars. Ah, there's a blue one. Isn't it pretty? Ooh, look how fast that red one's going. It's red like that stop sign. Like my jacket.
This is a 38-year-old man.
My jacket's not a car, is it? Is my jacket a car? My jacket is red, but it doesn't go fast.
He may sound a little strange to you and me.
Vroom. Vroom, vroom.
But to his 2-year-old son, who's interested in cars and colors, he makes perfect sense.
That's the sound cars make.
When you talk with your child, you build vocabulary, and learning starts long before school does. So follow their lead. Take simple everyday moments, like eating dinner or just watching cars go by, and turn them into learning moments.
Ooh, look, red car.
Yes, and it's moving awfully fast.
Blue car.
Yes, the man in the red car is about to meet the man in the blue car. Get himself a pretty pink ticket.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. For more tips, go to bornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
If you have pests, we have answers. With over 70 years of experience protecting homes and property from pests, you can rest assured that the Pied Piper Exterminators is the best choice for you to protect your home, garden, or business. The Pied Piper will protect your property from ants, fleas, rats, roaches, spiders, ticks, and any other kind of critter that's bugging you. Family owned and with offices conveniently located. Call on the Pied Piper today. For a free pest inspection and estimate, call 800-834-4034 or visit us on the web at thepiedpiper.com.
The reason we're letting that bumper music run so long is because
why?
No words can describe the show that I am enjoying that the rest of you cannot be enjoying. All you're enjoying is the American Woman song.
I was doing a little lip sync dance with that.
Yeah, and it was great. Fun. I was watching Nikki through the framed studio window here. That looks like a big screen TV.
It's such a good song, though.
And
how can
fantastic.
You not dance?
Totally in the groove. Well, because I'm ashamed of my dancing ability.
Oh, come on!
But when I work out some more, can resist the temptation to eat these donuts that our good friend Gary Richard Arnold brought.
A whole entire box.
Gary Richard Arnold.
Does he want us to gain 10 pounds tonight?
No. We should be.
It's what's going to happen if I eat all these.
Thankful. We should be.
No,
thankful.
I'm really appreciative. It's really nice because
my
favorite kind.
It was a very sweet thing to do, in more ways than one.
Yep.
But I was just watching.
Is that why you brought him in here to me?
Yeah.
To get him away from you.
I ate one.
Okay.
It was one more than I should have eaten, but that's good. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to hour number two of the Saturday special. It's MZ, and Nikki is the pilot in command today. Once again, by the way, who is this? Who is this on the telephone, the electric telephone? Who is it?
Hello, Michael. It's Tammy.
Tammy!
Yeah.
Hi, Tammy.
You know, I listened last week. You know, I listen all the time. I'm a radio junkie. But, you know, that was the greatest radio broadcast I have heard in my life. That's how good it was. I was mesmerized.
Wait a minute. We know that Stan, Dr. Stan, is a very articulate, passionate person. But, okay, thank you.
Well, no,
he
hit every point nail on the head. He got to the root. You know, he hit theosophy hard. So we tried to even call and say, oh, no, theosophy's okay. He's like, no, it's Luciferian worship. It's not okay.
Yeah.
So he was
We got to get that up on the SaturdaySpecial.com. By the way, anybody can listen to us to the last Saturday Special on demand. Normally, I don't know how there isn't anybody, you know, whose job it is at the radio station except mine. I can make it somebody else's job, I guess, you know, to put it up on the web. In our archive. By the way, if you go to ksco.got.net and then scroll down to where it says MZ Sat Specials, mm-hmm. a list will come up from everything, you know, goes back as far as like 1996 or something.
Yeah, I perused
that.
There's
some really, really good ones. Like MZ and the Hose, that was really a good one.
Yeah, there have been prostitute.
We had some
ones.
Prostitutes in the station here, and they told us about how cool it is to be a prostitute.
Uh-huh.
You know, and so forth.
I think
Dr. Stan actually called on that program. It was great. It was great radio.
Oh, good.
We don't have the famous Dr. Wallach meets Dr. Monteith program because that was train wreck radio. It really, really was. I mean, that was the wildest, wooliest program that was ever broadcast, certainly on this station and probably on any station in the world. And I'm not exaggerating, ladies. I'm sure there are people out there listening today on Independence Day 2009 who remember that epic program.
Yeah, well, this is happy Independence Day today for everybody, and it's like we're looking at the fact that you've got Alex Jones on there. You have let the cat out of the bag. It's getting exciting.
Yeah.
I think that they're scared. They're running scared. They are, because some of the things that they had to...
So they really are going to want to shut us down. But what I don't understand is why they haven't shut down Alex Jones.
Well, he's being smart. He's being careful, you know, in terms of protecting his family. You know, it's not so easy.
Yeah.
You have to live in a state of constant readiness, which... you know, most of us aren't ready for. I mean, even the Second Amendment is for a well-regulated militia.
Right.
And I think that's the major thing that we don't really have.
Right.
You know, some areas maybe. But the problem with Obama now, you know, trying to take over every aspect, you know, our health care. What gets me about health care, the big issue that doesn't ever come up, is that it's mostly tort reform. That's needed, because that's what's causing... Like,
totally.
Yeah.
Couldn't agree with you more. Because, yeah, and loser pays.
Yeah,
loser pays.
Because
and they won't have frivolous lawsuits.
Yeah, he's a lawyer, so he's not going that angle.
Right.
And to me, to have the government tell me that I'm going to have to take an immunization against my will, I'll tell you what, they're going to get my bullets first. It isn't going to happen, not in this family and not in a lot of families that I know. So if they're going to go that route, they're barking up the wrong tree. And I think that, you know, also people don't realize, you know, I want to uplift and make things happy and help people, you know, have a good life. But we need to, in our minds and our hearts, be ready to understand that the enemy doesn't always appear like an enemy. You think that, oh, social workers, they care about children. Oh, they'll help you. Your teachers, oh, they care about your kids. This is absolutely the wrong attitude. You have to understand that your children are your most precious assets, and the fact that the state has unlimited power to come into your life and say, oh, we don't really think your house is clean enough, we're going to take your children and make sure you clean up around here first, that kind of thing is going to destroy America, because the freedom that we had when we were kids to go see the neighbors or, you know, go across the street, all that is being broken
down. Well, I know you're really concerned about that, and I suppose you have a reason to be concerned about that, but that's just, it's so unbelievable.
It is unbelievable, yeah. But the thing is that the root of this problem is that basically convicted child molesters are running like the Miami-Dade system in Florida. They're losing 1,000 kids a year. Okay, mostly it's black kids. And they're showing up. They're finding these kids mostly in America. When they find them, they find them dead. And they're finding them on slave ships, and they're finding them over in Saudi Arabia in sex, you know, situations that a child should never have to go through, that kind of thing. And they want to open up our minds to just realize that, oh, yeah, it's okay. You know what I mean? Anything's okay now. There are no standards. There are no rules. And this is the kind of utopia that they want. And they think that they're going to shove it upon us, and they're wrong. is just wrong. There's going to be a huge uprising.
Tammy,
people are not going to
keep
take
up
it.
The fight. We appreciate your call.
Thank you
Saturday's
so much.
Thank you. Have a good one. There was Tammy in, I think, Scotts Valley. 479-1080 if you want to call us. But you know what? Don't bother for the next 17 minutes because right now, this minute... are going to present the talk that I've been promoing all during the Saturday special. This is from the new media seminar put on by Talkers Magazine each year. But well, this particular one was put on this year for 2009. And it is Michael Harrison talking about freedom of speech and how important it is. I'm sure you're going to agree with it. And he introduces Rush Limbaugh, who graciously accepts the 2009 Freedom of Speech Award. So here it is.
Every year I have the privilege of this moment, and this is always a painful, difficult moment. Sometimes it is at the end of months and months of verbal bloodshed. Defending the First Amendment is the most difficult thing any American can do. It is also the most important thing that any American can do. Without the First Amendment, there is no America. Without the tolerance of points of view with which we disagree, there is no America. Without the tolerance of letting people say things that are repugnant to us, without giving people free expression, without accepting the fact that democracy and the Constitution and the First Amendment are extremely messy and untidy things, there is no America. Without the recognition that we have to allow dangerous people, let alone people who are not dangerous but with whom we disagree, but even dangerous people, to speak openly and be able to have their constituencies and their point of view, there is no America. Without the tolerance to risk having America as we want it, there can be no America. That is the irony of America. We have to walk the edge of tolerance, and we have to run the risk of it not being what we want it to be for it to be what we really want it to be. It is the most difficult thing to explain. We have been doing this for years. Sometimes when it happens that we give the Freedom of Speech Award to somebody who is basically acceptable to most people, and that doesn't happen often, it's easy. But if we happen to give the Freedom of Speech Award to somebody who's controversial, the first thing we hear is, how can you possibly honor so-and-so for saying that? And I always say, we're not honoring them for saying it. We're honoring them for the higher principle that allows them to say it and for being the one who says it. And I often don't work with notes, but I didn't want to get this wrong. I must have worked on this sentence for 15 years. Its sole function is to recognize the significance of the recipient's contribution during the past year to keeping the principles of the First Amendment viable through highly visible example and practice. I'm going to say it again because I worked on this for 15 years. Its sole function, this award's sole function, is to recognize the significance of the recipient's contribution during the past year to keeping the principles of the First Amendment viable through highly visible example and practice. Now think about that. In most countries, if you say something against the head of state, your life will be in danger. Presidents of the United States are extremely dangerous people. We tend to forget that. They're powerful beyond belief. They exercise awesome control over our lives, over our safety, over our health, over our finances, over our image in the world, and over our culture. They're not the warm and fuzzy people that, for example, we met Mike Huckabee, sweetest guy in the world. But he could have had the power of life and death over your children. Never feel sorry for presidents of the United States. Never, ever feel sorry for people who have that kind of awesome power when a private citizen gets up, no matter how repugnant it may seem, and says, I object. I do not agree. This is not the way we should be going. Therefore, considering the events of the past year, whether he was going to come or not, or whether I like him or don't like him, or you like him or don't like him, or we agree with him or not, aside from the fact financially, economically, and every other reason, he is very, very responsible for the fact that we even have this scene. But that has nothing to do with this. There would be absolutely no excuse not to give this man this award for the unprecedented second time. It was a no-brainer. The fact that he has come to accept it is, in my opinion, a great tribute to the solidarity of our struggling industry at this crucial time in its existence. And for that, I am grateful to him beyond belief. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my privilege to give the 2009 Talkers Magazine Freedom of Speech Award to one of the greatest broadcasters of all time and a great American, Rush Limbaugh.
I want to thank Michael. Michael, you're the last man standing. Right beside me. I want to thank Michael and all the people at Talkers for this award. Freedom of speech is something that we Americans, I think, have always taken for granted. We were born to it. We think that it's part of our natural spirit, which it is. Freedom is. But what we all have come to, at least I have over the course of my 20 years, is that I have been made aware that there are people who don't like what other people say, for it offends them or whatever reason. And rather than just leave it alone, turn it off, or run away, there are people who want to silence those who say things that they don't agree with. And that is an ever-present danger. And it is something that we all have to be vigilant against. And the best way to engage in free speech is to engage in free speech. To not be afraid of what somebody is going to think of what you say. And I got a piece of advice when I moved to Sacramento in 1984. And that was actually to my first full-fledged talk show. And the guy that took me out there, who's passed away, Norman Woodruff, one of the most important people in my career, said, look, we want controversy. I was replacing Morton Downey Jr., who had been fired for telling a Chinaman joke and not apologizing for using the word Chinaman. And one of the city councilmen was Tom Chin, and the joke was about him, and Mort refused to apologize, so it was hurting. So I didn't know that until I got there, and they told me, we want controversy. But we want controversy, but don't make it up. If you actually think something, if you actually believe it, and you can tell people why, we'll back you up. But if you're going to say stuff just to make people mad, if all you want to do is rabble-rouse, if all you want to do is fan and get noticed, that's not what we're interested in. We won't back you up. And I've never forgotten it. The best way to practice free speech is to do it and to not care what people say. The best way to get the people off your case who want to shut you up is to keep shouting louder. Well, we do it within the context of something I think a lot of people need never forget. We're broadcasters first. The evolution of talk radio has been amazing in the 20 years. When I started in 1988, I was it. And the only cable network that mattered was CNN in terms of news. The rest, it was CBS, ABC, NBC, the newspapers and the magazines. And look what it's become now. 125 radio stations were doing talk in 1988. Today, it's 2,000 or maybe more. If you want to hear a discussion on Chinese opera, you can. The idea that points of view are being censored, that points of view are not being heard, that somebody can't find what they want to listen to is ridiculous. There's more available now than there has ever been. And it's because Fairness Doctrine was rescinded, but it was because everybody's interested in the whole concept of free speech. Now, we do it within the concept of broadcasting, and we, those of us in broadcasting, I think, should never forget that we are broadcasters first. It's easy, given the evolution of what's happened to us, to think that we are issue-oriented, involved in the public scene, the political scene, and that that is something that will define our success. Mistake. None of us in this room can raise anybody's taxes. None of us in this room can send anybody off to war. None of us in this room can make sure that somebody gets elected. None of us in this room can make sure that somebody gets defeated. Our job is to attract an audience, to hold that audience for as long as we can. Excuse me. Did you get it? You want a pole shot? Thank you. Attract the audience. We hold it for as long as we can for the purpose of charging confiscatory advertising rates. This is a business, and that's how we stay on the air. We don't stay on the air because we lead millions of people to a specific end result of an issue. We stay on the air because we attract an audience. If we don't attract an audience and don't hold it, all the rest is academic. Now, despite what people, some of you in this room, outside the room, might think, that is always my first foremost objective, the business side of radio. The acquiring an audience and the holding it. If I was first and foremost, it's a close second, by the way, now don't misunderstand, but if I were first and foremost interested in moving public opinion and to the point that I was affecting policy, I'd get out of radio and I would move to Washington where that happens. I don't want to do that. I don't want to live in Washington, and I don't want to get involved in policy. I love what I do. I have never been happier. I'm one of the most fortunate people on the face of the earth. I'm doing what I was born to do. I have had people that I've worked for who have been just fabulous, who got out of my way, let me try it the way I thought it ought to be done. They invested trust and faith in me. As our business goes forward, you have arguments. Well, there's too many syndicated programs now. There's not enough local talent. We don't have a local programming. We're not giving an opportunity for local hosts to develop. There may be some truth to that, but the way to find it, no matter where you are, regardless how much syndicated programming you take, you still have local hosts somewhere. And it is a concern building the talent base, the bench that's going to take over and keep this business thriving. Now, based on my experience, if you find somebody who really loves this, I'm talking to program directors and general managers, if you find somebody who really loves this, who you can't keep out of the radio station, who you can't kick out of the radio station, get out of their way for a while and let them see what happens. And you find out what happens. The only way you're going to find out if true talent exists is to let it blossom. We have the perfect vehicle for that. Radio, I've done television and I've done radio, and radio to me is incomparable and irreplaceable. The other night I was on Hannity, did a two-part interview with Fox. 9 out of 10 emails, gosh, you look good. Didn't even hear what I said. Yeah, you look good. I've never had anybody listening to me on radio say, you know, I wonder what you were wearing when you made that brilliant point that they can cite word for word. Radio is intimate. Spoken word radio that captivates the audience. You own that audience member. It's not Muzak. They're not doing anything else. This is direct, hands-on. This is primary listening. This is not secondary. They are listening to you if you've captivated them. That's why talk radio as an advertising vehicle surpasses anything else. The host has credibility, captive audience. Audience loves the host, thinks the host tells the truth. Host advises the product is worthwhile. Product moves off the shelves. Bingo, success. I don't know about you, but that's what keeps me on the air. Not what I think about issues. Not what I think about who the president is or what he's doing. That matters. It's a close second. Don't misunderstand. But we're in radio. We're broadcasters. We have the opportunity to move more people in a substantive way for the good of the country because of that intimacy that radio affords, that television doesn't. Television provides the pictures. Radio doesn't. The host either paints them or the listener paints the image, him or herself. But once that starts happening, you've got them locked. Television, people sit there and watch it as a sponge, just soaking it all up, paying half attention to what they're seeing, very little attention to what they're hearing. The radio provides an entirely different opportunity and reward. And the thing that makes it work is free speech. Don't be afraid of what somebody else thinks. It's just words. They can't hurt you. I learned, took me about 3 years. One of the toughest things I had to learn as a human being, and I'd never, growing up, nobody who knew me thought I was a racist, sexist, bigot, homophobe, nor did anybody hate me. Except some old girlfriends. And now three ex-wives. But nobody hated me. Nobody hated me. Until I started on the radio. Then statistically, I'm told, half the country hates me. And I had to learn how to take hate as a measure of success. None of us are raised wanting to be hated. We all want to be loved. We all want to be adored. We want everybody to like us. In fact, so many of us want everybody to like us, we'll go out of our way and be who we are not, trying to figure out who they want us to be, and then we try to be that. That means you lose who you are. You become phony. And if that's what happens if you start responding to critics. For all of you on the radio, we're all going to get criticized. We're all going to get ripped to shreds. We're all going to be compared to a bag of manure. The only difference between the bag and us is the manure. We're all going to have that said about us. But we know in our hearts, whether we're being honest with the audience, we know in our hearts we're being honest about what we believe and what we care about. And so don't give anybody the power to offend you. You turn that power over, and you're giving away who you are. You're giving them way too much power. We have too many special interest groups in this country based on being offended. And that's led to whole groups of people thinking that they're victims of an unfair, unjust society in the greatest country in the world with more opportunity still today than ever before in human history. And every day in this country, Paul Harvey used to say this, every day in America is better than the day before. It still is the case. We can help make that remain true by focusing on our free speech and our job and our responsibility. Michael, thank you very much for this award. I'm very honored to have it. I'm thrilled to be here, folks. Thank you. And all the best to Talkers Magazine.
Yeah, everybody, the standing ovation there in New York City. I think it was on June 6th. Just about a month ago at the New Media Seminar. Anyhow, so what'd you think of that? I thought it was appropriate to play on the Independence Day 2009 version or episode of the KSCO Saturday Special. Be interested in knowing what you thought of that. Give us a call at 479-1080. 479-1080. Let's see, Nikki, we got the second hour commercials to play.
Actually, I played all of them.
Oh, they were all played? Oh, that's all there were? We got to do something about that. We got to sell some more advertising. Okay, give us a call at 479-1080. Very interested in what you have to say about Michael Harrison and Rush Limbaugh's speech about freedom of speech and how important that is. I think everybody who listens to this station understands the importance of free speech, that, and we must not take it for granted, particularly now when every day that passes, in my opinion, freedom of speech is more in jeopardy every day. in this country because so many people don't see freedom of speech as helping their agendas to be advanced. So, again, 479-1080. Harold in Aptos has been waiting for some time. Harold, you're on.
Hello, MZ. How are you?
Pretty good.
Okay. I envision myself in a room with Governor Schwarzenegger and for the Democrats, let's say Bill Monning, our assemblyman. And we're gonna hammer out a budget. And I've heard figures where $25 billion to $35 billion in the red in this state. And the Republican Party has become a conservative party and the Democrats are liberal. So I'm in the middle, and both of you are going to have to give up something. What will you give up? And what I've come with, I'm willing to have a compromise on Prop 13 where the corporations and churches that own real estate will have to pay more taxes. But you teachers unions, SEIU, and your prison guard unions that are supporting your legal immigration, it's got to stop. You've got to e-verify and DMV photo check all new employees. That's what you Democrats have to give up. You Republicans have to give up your death tax, estate tax. You can't keep giving your wealth you worked so hard for to your relatives because some of them will blow it within a couple of years, and it just makes our problems now where we're in a situation where the wealthy elite control everything behind the scenes. And it's called globalism, but I'm going to leave it there and listen to your opinions, and including MZ and his guest. How are you going to fix our budget deficit?
Okay. You know, I've often thought that it would be interesting to do a whole Saturday special where the topic would be if you were in control.
If I was in control?
If you were in control, yeah, not just you, Harold, but you, that every caller would answer that question.
Sure.
The President of the United States, for example. Okay, what would you do? I think it'd be a real interesting program.
Yeah,
maybe we
what
ought to
would
do
you
that.
Give up and what do you want?
Yeah.
Quid pro quo.
Yeah. Pretty good. All right, Harold, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Okay, here's Craig in San Jose. By the way, if you want to call your favorite radio station, it's 479-1080 in area 831. Hey, Craig.
Hey, Michael. Happy 4th of July.
I would say the same to you. Thank you.
Thank you. Hey, I remember that program with Dr. Stan and Dr. Wallach. It was a wild one. And tell me if I remember correctly. It was, now I don't have anything against either guy, but it was Dr. Wallach who was the real aggressor. I mean, he got in there and he interrupted Dr. Stan on just about every point. Do you remember that? Am I
How could I forget? How could I forget?
Yeah. Is it accurate of what I'm saying?
I was actually looking for a copy of that program, which I thought I had archived in a bunch of different places, and I couldn't find it. I've got this sinking pit in my stomach that it's gone. And how could I be so careless to let the wildest radio that's ever been broadcast, certainly on KSEO, if not in the whole history of radio, How could I lose that? I'm going to keep looking. It's got to be somewhere. Yeah.
Hopefully it's not lost forever.
Yeah, hopefully. So anyhow, you remember that, right?
I do. Well, I mean, am I saying, do I have an accurate memory here, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. But poor Doc Wallach has such vitriol for medical doctors and the pharmaceutical industry that he can be pretty cantankerous for sure.
Well, that's how I remember it. Dr. Wallach kept, I mean, he was the real aggressor in this debate, and he kept interrupting Dr. Stan.
But the real interesting thing is that what I remember about it, and I got for weeks and weeks and weeks afterwards, I got all kinds of comments, you know, faxes, snail mails. There wasn't too much email back in those days, although I probably got a few of those too. There were people who say Dr. Stan was the unquestionable winner in that one, and others who said Dr. Wallach was the unquestionable winner in that one. And I was just the worst possible moderator that anybody could possibly be because I just sort of sat there with my jaw dropped open. But in any case, so yeah, a lot of people remember that, Craig.
Yeah, go ahead.
Did you happen to were you listening to the Rush Limbaugh speech and the I thought that was particularly appropriate for Independence Day.
Yeah, it was a pretty good speech, but I did have one comment. You were talking about the 2010 elections, how you had kind of high hopes things will change.
Yeah.
Well, if I was a real kind of evil dictator without a conscience like this character in there in the White House, I would try and do what he's trying to do, is get legalize all the illegal aliens, you know, the 20 million to 30 million, have them bring in all the relatives, plus his goons in what's that organization? Acorn, yeah, to try and steal the election for the Democrats. So, I mean, I wouldn't be so high on. That's why he's trying to legalize all the illegal aliens, so they can all stay in power, you know, for the rest of your natural life.
Makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. You know, to me, I see the writing on the wall. I think a lot of others do also.
Well, let's hope that enough people rise up against that.
Well, let's hope there's anything you can do about it. I mean, it might be too late, you know, nobody can do anything about it anymore. That's what's pretty bad about this whole situation.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, anyhow, okay. So are you going to have a wonderful 4th? We hope you do.
Yeah, quiet 4th. That equals to wonderful for me if things are quiet.
Oh, it's quiet? You're not going to any potty or anything?
No, man. I've done enough in my lifetime. I'm just not interested in going out that much
anymore. Oh, what a shame.
It's called old age.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, Craig, thanks for calling the Saturday special. Always nice to hear from you.
Okay, Mike.
You take care. By the way, Dr. Stan will be hosting the next program here, Perspectives, from 12 to 1 here on your favorite radio station. So definitely plan on tuning in. Pat in Santa Cruz, welcome to the Saturday special. You're on the air.
Yeah. Happy 4th here, Mike.
You too, Pat.
If I had the power, I would make the left wing answer a question that it hypocritically refuses to, and I'd make the right wing answer a question it hypocritically refuses to. For the left, they talk about sustainability, acting locally, thinking globally, but acting locally. But you can't pin them down on the unsustainability of mass immigration, and I would pin them down. I have watched one liberal politician after another, and I could name a lot of local names, slime out of that question. They just won't answer.
Yeah, but the
it.
Others are just as bad, Pat.
Well, yeah, there's certainly a lot of pro-open borders in the corporate right wing, that's for sure. But as far as the right wing is concerned, they think that you should not interfere with the right of somebody to have all the kids they want. Yeah, but, and there's overlap here because a lot of left-wingers are, you know, the sacred choice of the woman to have however many kids she wants or however few she wants. Anyway, the point is, if somebody has a bunch of kids, they can't afford them, the right wing doesn't want to have to be paying for their kids. But at the same time, they want them to be free to have all the kids they want. So there's an obvious dilemma there, because are you going to let the kids starve to death? No. So how are you going to answer that dilemma? The right wing, and I have gone through this for a long time, Mike, they just simply will slime out of answering the question. All right, do you follow me there?
Yeah, I do. Sure.
All right. Well, so there you have it. The left wing are utterly hypocritical about one question, the right wing's utterly hypocritical about the other, and there's overlap because it applies not solely to both sides, but primarily to each side, as I just specified. So, there you go. Happy 4th.
I would say the same to you and to everybody in our KSCO listening audience.
Already,
bye. Thank you for your phone call. Just about 3-4 minutes left in the Saturday special, so if you want to give us a call, we have open lines. Phone number is 479-1080. If you want to get in Saturday special July 4th, 2009 message to our 10,000-watt audience, love to hear from you. And if not, that's great, too. We will be preparing quite a bit of programming for you, and very proud of having more and more local originated content on this station. I don't know. I'm a strong believer that, you know, what's the point of there being a local radio station if there isn't local content on the radio station? What's the point of just being a conduit for programming that is receivable in hundreds or thousands of other places, including the internet? And so that's the direction we're heading, and it seems to be working. From all the audience research data that I have seen, we are coming up dramatically in the ratings. Don't know who this is on the phone, but we'll find out. Hello, you're on the air on KSCO. Who's this?
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
Hi, this is John in Aptos.
The John in Aptos, or yes. Just a John in Aptos?
Well, you know, today's 4th of July, which I and my family celebrate every year and be thankful for living in the country that has its independence and all the men and women that have fought to keep it and the freedoms. However, this morning my wife and I went down to Santa Cruz for breakfast. Not one American flag was flown in Santa Cruz, in the socialist country of Santa Cruz. Anyway, not one flag in the stores, not one flag on the streets did I see, and I made an effort to go around a little bit. I said, look at this, honey, not one flag. I said, don't these people understand what we're about here? So I felt a little depressed, so I went to the Santa Cruz Memorial Park, and there was 300 and some American flags flying proudly in the cemetery there.
Oh, good, and that's in the city of Santa Cruz, isn't
yes,
it? Yeah,
yes.
Thank God, that's good.
That's right, but no thanks to the city of Santa Cruz, because the volunteers and the families of the veterans and that buy the flags, and volunteers come in and put them up. It's a beautiful sight, and there were people there that were going around and thinking about the people and thinking about the country. So, but it's just a shame that, you know, we can have gay pride parades and all that stuff, which is their right, but on the birth of our country, they can't even display American flags. It's a shame. I don't understand it. I mean, I don't have an answer for it. I don't know what they think or where they come from, but no place I want to be. But
okay, well, appreciate your call to the Saturday special. Gee, that's about it, gang. We're about 20 seconds from the top of the hour. I want to thank you for tuning in, and stay tuned for Perspectives this week, hosted by Dr. Stan Monteith. It's your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. So we'll see you next week.
That's all, folks.
KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose, it's 12 noon.
Fox News Radio, I'm Chris Stanley. As that massive U.S. Marine assault in Afghanistan's southern Helmand province continues, the biggest U.S. operation in that country since 2001, hundreds of miles away, a U.S. base came under Taliban attack.
Two American soldiers were killed and several others wounded after Taliban militants fired rockets and mortar shells at an American base in eastern Afghanistan on Saturday. A coalition spokesman says at least 10 insurgents were killed during the battle. The military continues to search for a missing American soldier who walked off a base in Paktika province 4 days ago. Pentagon officials fear he's been taken captive by the Taliban. In Kabul, Connor Powell, Fox News Radio.
A fireworks explosion on North Carolina's Ocracoke Island has claimed one life, injuring four other people. All five workers for the company setting up the island's annual fireworks display on the docks. Witnesses say 40 minutes worth of fireworks went off in about 4 seconds. The political infrastructure is still reeling from Sarah Palin's surprise decision to abandon her job as Alaska governor at the end of the month.
Sarah Palin said when she asked her family if she should quit the Alaska governorship, it was four yeses and one hell yeah. One reason, Palin said she and her staff spend most of their days dealing with unfounded attacks.
This political absurdity, the politics of personal destruction. Todd and I, we're looking at more than $500,000 in legal bills just in order to set the record straight.
The governor has promised more details soon on her Twitter account, saying, "My family's happy. It is good. Stay tuned." We certainly will. In Washington, Caroline Shively, Fox News Radio.
The post-military coup tension in Honduras taking a new turn as that country appears determined to go its own way. The Organization of American States meeting in Washington to consider suspending Honduras' membership for refusing to reinstate ousted President Manuel Zelaya. But Honduras beat the OAS to the punch, announcing this afternoon that it's quitting the OAS rather than meet that demand. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
You're in.
the Fox Lights.
Rumors have been flying that American Idol's snarkiest judge would leave at the end of his contract next year, but now Simon Cowell has reportedly been in talks to renew his deal for a price that would make him the highest paid person in television, possibly surpassing even Oprah Winfrey.
So that's the big news.
The Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Science has announced a major change in next year's Academy Awards. For the first time since the early days of the Oscars, 10 films will compete in the Best Picture category.
10 movies were nominated in 39, and they were among the greatest movies ever made.
And Grey's Anatomy star Katherine Heigl has signed on to the big screen romance Life as We Know It, which she will co-produce with her mother. In the meantime, fans can catch her in theaters next month telling the ugly truth.
Stick to the script.
In Hollywood, Adam Housley, Fox News.
The Fox Light.
Keep listening for more Focus from the Fox Light on Fox News Talk.
President Obama paying tribute to America's, quote, unyielding spirits in his 4th of July radio and internet speech. And he said that same spirit will be needed now to deal with problems, quote, we cannot defer any longer.
We're waging two wars. We're battling a deep recession. And our economy and our nation itself are endangered by festering problems we've kicked down the road for far too long. Spiraling health care costs, inadequate schools, and a dependence on foreign oil.
And he appealed for support on his domestic agenda of reforms in education, health care, and energy. For the Republicans, it was Senator John McCain who used the GOP's radio and internet time to denounce the Iranian government and call for support for the Iranian citizens who feel cheated by the June 12th election.
They are on the right side of history, and the cynics among us who think them fools are on the wrong side. Liberty and justice will someday be theirs. Let us hope they will have reason to remember then who their friends were in their struggle for freedom.
McCain saying the U.S. has a more